We so appreciate each of you folk who are here this morning. I had many, many telephone calls early this morning asking about the services, and I had several that asked me how to find Jesus and wanted him real in their hearts and their lives. You see, God is doing something so super special in our day. He's proving himself. He hasn't just left us to flounder and wonder what's going to happen, what direction to go. He is here. He's guiding. He's steering. He has created a great current in his river. And he says, jump in. And the flow of his life. Praise God. I was so pleased this morning when a young couple stopped to see me in the foyer. I had met them a little over a year and a half ago. We have many visitors here this morning, and many of you have come within the last year and a half. But for those of you that were here a year ago in February, I wonder how many of you remember the trip that I made to Port Orchard, Washington. It seemed like the Lord had opened up and dragged. Can I see your hands? And you remember there were a number of people that the Lord let me definitely see and know what he was going to do in helping them. Well, we have this morning a young couple, and the young lady is one of them that the Lord definitely let me see, and he ministered to her. I'm going to ask Daryl and Mrs. Beebe if they'll come up here to the platform. He was a youth pastor there, and there was a real need in their lives with God. And so I'd just love to have them up here for a minute. They were a part, that church was a part of something very special. As you'll recall, God allowed me to see and to know of 120 things that he would be doing. And this happened to be, my ministry over there happened to be the second thing on the list. Now, I wasn't able to tell them any more than that over there because, well, I didn't know what all was happening either. But at this point, there have been 112 of those 120 things, high points. And God has caused them to happen just in sequence the way he said that he was going to do. And Daryl, I'd like to have you say hi to our congregation, and I'd like for you to tell them that you don't need to tell them what it was. Just tell them how good it feels to know that the Lord cared that much.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Looks good to look out and see so many faces. I pastor a church now of about 35 people, and your chapel off over here is about the size of my auditorium. But it is nice to be with you this morning. We are on vacation. But looking back when Pastor Buck was with us in Port Orchard, it was just exciting to know how God had divinely directed him to our family, to our church family, and to the exciting things God does by divine appointment, and how he directed us together, and how a tremendous miracle took place in our home that really helped our ministry. And we've been pastoring now for just about 5 months, and that miracle was very important before we could take that step out into a full-time ministry on our own. Sherry, would you like to say something?
I'd like to say I'm glad to be here this morning, and I'd like to say that when this man came to our church, your pastor, there was a need in my life that God met that I really didn't know about, and there was some healing to be taking place. And I don't mind saying that it was something in my childhood. And, you know, sometimes you think, well, why does God do that to me? Or why in the world did I have to be put in a family like that? And, you know, God just did a beautiful miracle in me. What it showed to me is that he cared so much for me. He sent a man all the way across our state to me. And he met me one day, and God says, this is this girl's problem. And God met me. And it just keeps going on. God has met me so personally. And I just want to let each one of you know that don't be content just to sit aside and watch other people work. I was happy to be a pastor's wife, and I felt God had called me to be a pastor's wife. And I kind of helped my husband and my children, you know, raising them. But I didn't realize my ministry And God is now saying, hey, lady, you have a ministry, you know, and I want you to work for me. And even being here, up here this morning, I am not a talker. And God is really just showing me what my ministry is. So don't be content to sit and watch somebody else. Be a minister, each one of you.
Wow, that's good.
The Lord is going to be dropping other people by that he's ministered to in various parts of the country. I met a man a week and a half ago. The Lord ministered to in over 1,000 miles away. He called. I prayed for him over the telephone. He drove the most beat up old pickup. I didn't think it would go 1,000 miles. But he drove it out to meet me and have prayer further with me. Hallelujah. God is doing some things today, letting people know that he's interested in people. He's not only interested in history, he's not only interested in events, he's interested in people. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we're going into the Word of God for just a little while this morning. Something that I feel is so important. And I've chosen to call this message, This is Our Day. This is our day. We must not let it pass us by. It is our day. I notice we have many, many visitors here this morning. Some of you are here. You heard by tape or heard about the visitation that God has brought to me with angels bringing messages to people from God's heart. And I would like to say that at the guest desk, there are some stacks of tapes with these messages on them that we'd encourage you to get. They're $2 a piece, and they have become a blessing. I mentioned in my class this morning of one, tape being listened to in a bar or in a saloon. 17 people sat around listening to that tape. One of the men that heard it went to the telephone, called up, and accepted Christ on the phone. And he went back to talk to the others then about how real Jesus was. Praise God. So I know that God is using this message all over the country, and I'd like for you to get as many copies as you could use. If you have family members away from God, get a tape, mail it to them. There are somewhere between 400 and 500 of these tapes that are out now across the country, and every time that they're played or listened to, the Spirit of the Lord is there to see that people are informed and they know what's going on, but God is working not only where the tapes are. His angels are out there working all over the country. This will help them though to know what is happening. Just a little reminder, when things are happening in our day, the world is experiencing a great renewal. Christian religions are experiencing something that they never thought would happen. Theologians thought that before people could have anything in common or any type of unity, they all had to iron out the differences in their opinions and their thinking. And they tried. They would get together and one would give a little tiny bit of ground here and a little bit there, but they could never make everything fit. And as a result, for centuries, the different Christian bodies have been separated. But God, as much as said in this day, that his unity would not be a unity of the mind or doctrine. Because even members of a denomination or members of one family may not all think alike. They may not have unity of their opinions. Why, it sounds a little bit far-fetched to even think that 10 people could all think exactly alike on every little old thing. So the Lord never planned to have these minds all turn into a rubber stamp kind of a machine. Stamp, 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 stamp. Everybody giving exactly the same answer for the same word. Why, you don't have anything then. You play a phonograph and do that. Just make a whole bunch of records. And God could have done that. But he made us with our own personalities, our own individualities. We act different. We say things different. We think different. But what God had planned was that we have a oneness of spirit. And he's doing it. I'd like to see how many of you folk out here this morning are from Catholic backgrounds. Can I see your hands? Stick them way up. I want you all to turn around. Look at those hands. All over the place. Up in the balcony. Any up there? Catholics aren't used to sitting in balconies. No, all of them are down here. All right. A whole lot of hands went up. Probably 40. How many of you folk are from LDS backgrounds? Can I see your hands? Another bunch. Okay. How many from Lutheran background? There's several. Lutheran, some of them sit up in the balcony. How about Methodists? Do we have anybody from... look at all the Methodists around here. And all sections have Methodists. What about Nazarene? Are there any Nazarenes around? Oh, a lot of Nazarenes, too. Quakers? Any Quakers in the area? Friends? Can I see your hand? A lot of friends, but not many Quakers here this morning. Oh, there's some way back. Oh, yeah. Okay. Did I forget anything? Are there any Baptists here? Hey, look around. Hey, I didn't know this was a Baptist church. I got in the wrong one this morning. More Baptists than anything so far. What about Christian church people? Bunch of you. Well, let's see. I think I've run through them all, haven't I? Anything I missed? What? Presbyterians. Bunch of Presbyterians. Oh, let's see, there's another group that begins with P. Pentecostal. Any Pentecostal people here? Few of Pentecostal backgrounds anyway. Oh, I'll tell you. I just kind of wanted you to see, there's a beautiful oneness. Did you sense the oneness of spirit while prayer was being made and in the songs? You didn't know that you were sitting next to somebody that was a totally different faith. Why, a year or so ago, why, you would have gotten out the Bible and you would have tried to prove that person, now you're how wrong you are. That person would have said, no, you're wrong. And the wall would have been there and there would have been no speaking, no friendship at all. Wars have been fought over the fact that people think differently. Not on most things, but differently on religion. Did you know that many, many of the wars were religious wars? People fought different. And there's a lot of wars that have gone on without guns being fired, even in modern days, over religion. But thank God, he is doing something special. Hallelujah. He's bypassing what's up in here. He said, don't make a whole lot of difference anyway. And he's giving oneness of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We're one in the Spirit. We're one in the Lord. God is doing it. Bringing people into the big family of the Lord. Hallelujah. Where we can strengthen, we can support each other. We can work together. We can link arms together and go out and reach our brothers and sisters for Christ. We can let the world know that Jesus lives. And Jesus said, by this will all people know you're my disciples if you love one another. He didn't say, if you think alike. Is that right? But if you love one another, praise God forever. So, very special day is upon us. It's a day of the ministries of the Spirit in daily operation by the body of Christ, not by just certain picked individuals, but as the Spirit moves and sees the needs and people are available, God is using men and women. It's a special day of visitation. In Luke 19, verses 41 to 44, Jesus spoke of a special visitation that Jerusalem, the people of that day, experienced. But he said he wept as he looked over Jerusalem. And the reason why there were tears, divine tears that were shed, they didn't know the day of their visitation. They didn't recognize him. He cried out, "If only you would have known in this your day the things, the time of your visitation. If you only would have known the things that were important, the things that would bring peace to your heart. But you didn't know. And there's coming a time when they're hidden from your eyes." And I feel that God today is bringing to us a beautiful visitation. This is a day of visitation. And I'm glad that today, as he looks over the world at this point, he is not saying, "It's hidden from your eyes." But across the world, the cry has gone up, "Thank you, God, for visiting us." And I'm sure that you would hear, if you could somehow hear the choirs of angels sing, it would be, "The world is responding to God's visitation." Hallelujah. That's why you're here this morning. You know the world is being visited. Praise God. By great revivals. By visitors from heaven. I've had so many people ask me, how come you suppose God allowed you to witness visitors from heaven? And in case some may not be aware of what I'm speaking about, as strange as it may seem, God has allowed angelic beings to visit for me just in recent days, the latest being just a week, 2 weeks ago this morning. And that may sound a little out of the way. You mean you've really been visited? The important thing is this. You have been visited and are being visited. What's happened to me is not an unusual thing. It's just that the Lord allowed me to see what was happening and let me know that what was happening there is happening with every one of you. Most of the time, we'll never know, we'll never see, but it's there, the presence of God. For he did say to his angels, he sent them forth, and he said, "Take charge of those people." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The angels of the Lord camp around about those that fear him. God is bringing messages to the world in many, many ways. The Spirit of God that dwells within your heart is the controlling center. The Spirit of the Lord himself is the one who controls all of these other great experiences. So don't turn your eyes away from Jesus and say, "He must not love me. He hasn't let me see an angelic being." Do you know something? You have within your heart a personage far greater than all of the angels put together. Greater is he that is in you, the Spirit. An angel cannot visit with you. An angel cannot stay by you. That angel, that angel, or at least stay visible to you, only as ordered by God. But Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you, but will stand by you. Oh, hallelujah! Hallelujah! I thank God for the perspective that these angels have given me of how great Jesus really is. This last visit, they said that the function, the purpose, their highest purpose or work, regardless of what their function was in God's order, in God's program, all of them have the same highest purpose, and that is, at the name of Jesus, they all have to fall, bow, worship Him. At the name of Jesus, worship is their highest purpose, worshiping God. Hallelujah. And to me, and I'm presenting it to you, Jesus is in a position of honor and of glory by things in this earth, things in heaven, all creation. Jesus is ascending into a point and a place where in the very, very near future, all everything is going to be turned over to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The one that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The one that said, I'm your friend. I'll stand by you. He's yours. Praise God. I wanted you to know, this is a day of visitation, special visitation by God, and in various ways that He would come. Now, my purpose of this message today has three main directions, three main objectives. One, to point to an open door of hope to you who are searching. I know there are many here today who are searching. You're longing. You're fed up with religion as such, but your heart is longing for God. You're reaching toward Him. God wants you to know that He is in control, that He loves you, that He wants you, that He has room for you. And God has added another little clause to this message that He's made part of my life. And that is that He has come looking for you. And even another little pigtail on that He will not let you go. You may yank away and head your direction, but God wants you. God loves you. God's concerned about people. This is our day of visitation. God's angels, right now, are sent forth into the world to do a very special job. And that is to reach men and women everywhere, and to not listen to their objections, but to bring them to a point of choice. And if they refuse to make the right choice, God isn't looking for some reason to cut you off and to throw you away. He begins the cycle all over again. Hallelujah, to bring you to that point of choice. If you refuse, He'll begin it again. He is not trying to prove something to you. He's not wanting to be able to just fulfill His obligation of saying, I gave you a chance. He'll give you 1,000 chances if you will just give Him that opportunity to help you. When I was in Toppenish, I got out of my sister's car and stepped in the dust of the parking lot of a little motel. It was the finest motel. It was the Hilton, I think, that little town. They had two. And this one was far more first class than the other one. But I looked around and I I don't know if I said it to my sister or to myself, or just it just escaped. But I said, "What in the world are you doing here?" I said to myself, "What am I doing here?" I could think of people that wanted me to minister to them and pray with them. I had the whole afternoon there and didn't know anybody. And I felt like I was wasting a whole half a day. There I was, in the little place. I didn't have a car. And I was a long way from the church, and there was in that little motel. So I went into the motel, and I said, "Well, since there isn't much else to do, I don't think anybody will mind in particular. Nobody knows I'm here. I'll take a nap." And I had a rare nap. I went to sleep for a little while. But I didn't know for sure why. I felt a real nudge from the Lord when that man called me to come over there. And I didn't know why. I had received calls at several quite large conventions that I just didn't feel any green light at all. And I said, no, don't want to go. And here, somebody said, "Well, how come, if you're going to go out, how come you didn't go where you could have a wider ministry?" I went to a little place where the pastor said there, in their regular services, there's not over 40 people at a time. Their Sunday school runs about 80, but the church services, about 40. But early Saturday morning, I knew why I was there. Praise God. I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Went out and did a little bit of jogging. I just kind of felt like something, you know, some reason for it. Lord was with me. It was all real, real precious that early in the morning. I met a man out there who was wanted to get his dog back into his car before the motel man even found out he had sneaked it into the motel. And since he had a dog, well, I thought he couldn't be all bad. I'd have a chat with him. Then he went back to the motel. I went back in, showered, shaved, came back out about 6 o'clock. He came back out. And so I felt, well, there's got to be a reason here. Because I like to feel, and I lay myself before God for this reason, that things don't just happen by accident. There's a reason why. That I'm up this early, he's up this early, that he's here, I can talk to him about Jesus. So I went over and we talked about how wonderful it was that early in the morning and just makes you feel good to be alive and so on. And so I said, "Well, besides that, it just makes Jesus a little bit closer to us." And I said the wrong thing when I said the word Jesus. He told me he was a Jew. And the name Jesus didn't really, it wasn't his favorite subject. But it opened up the door for me to talk to him. So I told him that I was not there by accident, that things didn't just happen, that we were talking there by divine appointment, that God was interested in him, and that he was not in that motel by accident. I said, "You're here because God brought you here." And I explained to him what God was doing. That because of relatives that really love God, the angels are out there. I said, they're bringing people to a point of choice. And I asked him, I said, "Do you have any relatives that know God?" And he said, "I have a nutty sister that has gone haywire on religion. And she's trying to talk to me," and he said, "I've refused to even let her talk to me anymore. She just absolutely," he said, "she's not like you." I didn't tell him this out loud, but in my heart, I said, "Boy, she's probably just exactly like me." But he said, I won't listen to her. And I said, "Because of this nutty sister of yours, you're highly favored of God. That's why you're here. That's why I am here." And then he was a little thoughtful and he said, "You know, Maybe there is something to it. I haven't told anybody, but see, I have been thinking about God, but I didn't know who to talk to. To get in, because there's no way to get in off that. It's right on the freeway, and there's fences up. And you have to go way down to what they call a frontage road and turn off, and it's easy to miss that, and then drive way back. And he said, when I was driving across there and driving up to this place, I kept asking myself, what's the matter with you? You never stay in a place like this. And he pulled his designer's model Mark V in there and parked it in that place. It looks so strange sitting out in front of that kind of hotel. So he opened his heart, gave his life to Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, now I own over 500 restaurants across the United States. He said that I feel so beautiful inside what God has done for me. I've got to find some ways to tell all these people. He said, when I get back to my central office, I'm sending letters out to all of them, telling them about Jesus. I'm going to tell them some of the things he told me what God's doing. Hallelujah. I knew what happened, how come I was there. I knew. Well, I feel that the Lord had several things. I feel the meeting there was alone would have been, and would have shown that God was in it. But this meeting, this man, knew when he shook hands with me and told me his name. I told you 112 of those things that God had given me were fulfilled. It was only 111 up to that point. But when he told me his name was James Andrews, that was number 112. You see, God is... Can you see the timing of God putting things together? I almost told him I wouldn't go over there. And that man almost went by. But he didn't. You see, God put it all together. God had this in his plan, and now the managers of 500 eating places and all their employees are going to hear about how their boss, who is the son of Abraham, has turned his life over to Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God.
See, God is doing it. God is working. Every life is so valuable to God. As you sit here today, you are so important to Him. The things that are happening in your life aren't just happening. God is doing it. God is putting it together. It's God. He's not doing it for just one denomination, one individual, one church. God is working with people today, giving them a job to do. This is our day. Every generation has had a special move of God. I can think of at least a number of special moves in my lifetime. But I can look back and down through history, last century, there have been special revivals under men that God has raised up. But the revival that God is bringing to the world today is different and more far-reaching than any revival the world has ever known. It's not because of great individuals that God is raising up. It's because of believers, members of the body of Christ, who are becoming God's voice, who are taking on the likeness of Jesus because of His Word. Oh, hallelujah. I was reading Colossians last night. I read it over and over and over again. Because as I read that third chapter, I could see how God's desire for us was that we look to the world just like Jesus looked to the world. His love. His heart. That we represent Jesus. They don't see Him.
They see us. I think of those verses in John. And you can jot these. What I'm giving to you is the Word made flesh. I haven't read a lot here to you, but it's what God put in my heart. I'm going to dump it out on you in this way. In John 20, verse 21, he tells us about the divine commission that he's given to us. He said, as my Father sent me, so send I you. You're going out just like I went out with the same job that I have. We have his commission. We have his power. Acts 1:8. He said, you shall be witnesses unto me. But he said, I am sending you the promise of my Father, the power. You'll be endued with power from on high after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. I'm giving you my work. I'm giving you my power to see that it's done. Then he said, I give you my authority. John 20, 23, he tells us about the authority of his name, but something else. With what God is doing today, with all of these angels at work bringing people to the door, to a point of choice and of decision, we become the door. We accept it readily that Jesus is the door. But Jesus says, you are the door. As my Father sent me out here to be the door, I'm sending you out to be the door. The doorway right to God's heart. So these angels are going to be bringing people across your pathway. Don't hesitate to be alert so that as the Spirit says, here, come on. Get him in. Hallelujah. The angels aren't going to push him through the door, but they don't mind you. You have a job to do. Get them in. And, you know, in order to finish this work that God is doing, and I believe a very special thing is happening in our day, you as individuals are being appointed as God's representatives, representing Jesus, letting the world see Jesus in you, letting them feel his compassion, his love, his heartbeat. Hallelujah. Letting the people know that your meeting with them and talking with them is not accidental. That you have authority. I'm going to tell you something that has been really soft-pedaled for a long, long time. But it's God's plan and it's God's purpose. And you just well know about it. In that, if you'd like to turn to John, the 20th chapter, I'm going to dismiss in just a moment or two. But I want you to see this as a clincher today. For the fact that God has opened a door of ministry for us today. There are people all over there saying, I want to be used of God. I want definitely to be used of Him. And here is the way. You are going to be used of Him. You're going to be the door. You're going to be the Word made flesh. You're going to be the river of water. John 7:37. He said that the water that God gives would become a river flowing out of you to other people who need God. The life-giving water that they so definitely need. Now, if you have your Bibles open to that, there's some things that Jesus said that he gives you. And that with these things, then you can represent him and his authority. In verse 19, the last clause, he said, here's my peace. When this peace is real to you, then you're going to be able to share. Then he said, in the people had a chance to see him. Their eyes caught a glimpse of him. They saw the Lord, and they were glad. And they didn't have an experience that was sour and resentful and bitter, or an experience that was dead and cold, but there was gladness. The disciples were glad. Now he said, because you have the peace, and because you can get glad and happy by what has happened to you. Then he said, I'm going to send you out to take my job. And then he breathed on them and said, here's my Spirit now to do the job and to clinch it. And then comes verse 23.
where he gives you this authority. This authority does not come to people who know the Bible by heart, who are able to give you the meanings of words and have it seemingly all mapped out. No. It's people who have seen Jesus and were glad and have his peace. They're experiencing the very reality of his life. And the river's flowing out from them. Those are the ones the Lord is using. And people are finding God today all over the country by people who may not know very much about the Bible, but they know Jesus. You see? They know Jesus. And so this has to be... This isn't minimizing the value of the Word. This Word is so important in our hearts and lives. But it is not the thing that will give you this authority. There are theologians all over the country that don't have enough authority to tell a person your sins are forgiven. They don't have it. Because the things... Not all theologians. I mean, there are some who do know the Bible. But they can't. They can quote somebody else. They can't speak with authority. The difference between Jesus and the scribes of his day, it said he spoke not as the scribes, but he spoke as one having authority. There's a lot of difference between having authority. When you know him and you have that peace, and what you're talking about is a real experience, you can share it with others, and people want what you've got. You believe that? Praise God. Now, when you know him, here is your authority. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. Hallelujah. When you see that person open their heart to Jesus and say, I want him, you can tell them with authority, your sins are gone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said that. I realize that there's an awful lot of people, an awful lot of theology that say, hey, you better not say that. They should have left it out of the Bible, is all I'm going to say. It's there. It's there. Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. When you see someone that's stubbornly resisting God, by the same token, you can say, your sins are still with you. Whosoever sins you retain, they retain. God says, I'll back you up because you know Jesus. I'll back you up. Praise God. It doesn't mean that they're going to be retained forever. It means that person can't go their way and say, well, I'm going to get into heaven just like anybody else. If they don't, they've got to have Jesus. When you've given them God's plan, God's direction, God's way, and they accept his way, you can give them God's word. Hallelujah. You represent him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. He said that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, telling him your sins are gone. Now he said that he's in us, giving us the same ministry. So we can reach out people and get a hold of their hand. We can reach up and get a hold of God's hand. We can pull them together. Notice in those two verses there, he says first he's given them the ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. The word is that you can come now. God says there's a lot of stubborn people don't want to come. They have to have a little help. So he gives us the ministry of reconciliation. He says get behind them, push it, pull them, get them in there. And pull their hand in God's. Put it together. The ministry of reconciliation. What he's telling you is, you might mark it down on the margin. He's telling you that he has given you the right to make it happen. Hallelujah. Will you accept that? You can make it happen. Because you're his. You can make it happen. You can help that person right into the fellowship with God. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. So this is our day. Beautiful day of hope. A day of service. And a beautiful day of opportunity open for every one of us. And the common characteristic of every revival
has been one of praise. It even goes way, way back into hundreds of years before Christ was born. Way back in 2 Chronicles, I was reading about the revival there, and several revivals, they were made up of praise. The people praised the Lord. They extolled the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, because God cared for them, because He had opened His arms and His heart, and always the praise, the note of praise was this, for His mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. That's what He's saying to you now. My mercy is extended for you. You may not have met all the conditions. You may not have met any of them, but you need help so badly that my grace, my mercy is extended to you. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our hearts before the Lord right now. Praise God. Father, we thank You that You have given us the right to be Your representatives. Oh, Jesus. And in this day, in this revival, You have made every one of Your believers Your evangelists. You not only, Your Word has always said this, but You're doing it today. And they're feeling the call, and they're being sent by You. We thank You for this. Praise God. Praise God. We know, dear Lord, something special is in the air. Something is happening. We don't have all the details, but we know something is happening. While your heads are bowed, I feel so strongly impressed to tell you the feeling that God has put on my heart, that because of this, the kind of revival that God is bringing today, this could be the last revival for the last generation. It could be. I've had many people ask me, did those angels that ministered to you say anything about the return of Christ? And the first times they met with me, I didn't ask them and they didn't say. But 2 weeks ago this morning, I was up the entire night till 6 o'clock in the morning with them. And I asked them, is there anything that you could tell me that would encourage people with regard to the return of Christ? There's so many ideas that people may have that would hold them apart or block out these truths. This angel said, I can't tell you the exact time because I don't know. But he said, I will tell you this, that he had observed in the courts of heaven greater excitement and greater activity than he had witnessed at any time since Jesus came the first time. I thought I was going to get raptured right there. Hallelujah. He said the excitement is building up in the courts of heaven. Hallelujah. Well, something's going to happen. We just want to lay down those petty little arguments we have. Differences, barriers. Open our hearts to Jesus. Let Him use us. Be there on the job as He brings people to us. Forget about little old things that you don't like about serving the Lord. And open your heart and expose yourself to the mighty flow of what He's doing. Hallelujah. And let the world see the gladness and the joy, the fact that you have met Jesus
And that he has breathed into your life. And there's a freshness there of his touch in your life. Let the world see. Praise God. We're going to stand right now. It's going to make it easier for some people to get out and to come down here. But I know that today there are people here their hearts are saying, this is what I've been longing for. I want God. I want that reality. I want God to know it. I'm going to offer myself to him for service. Or for giving your life to him the first time. It makes little difference when God speaks to our heart. Let's answer him. Give ourselves to him. So I'm going to open right now while the organ is playing softly. I'm going to ask you to make your way out from those seats wherever you are. If you need Jesus in your life, and today you're saying, Lord, I accept. I'm making my choice. It doesn't have to be a big involved thing. It's a matter of letting him know. And then if you also feel like, I thank God for this privilege of being a part of this great last day ministry, I want you also to let him know about that. While the organ is playing, would you come right now? Don't hesitate. Let's have a time here that the angels will rejoice with us about. For they're here. This room is filled with angels this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Some of you ought to be running down this front as fast as you can run. You fooled around, you asked God, God, isn't there some way I can serve you? This morning, God opens the way, door just as wide as he can open it. Why don't you just run down in dedication and say, God, here I am. Thanks for the privilege. Thanks for the opportunity.